We're going to read, starting at verse 1 through to chapter 4, verse 1. And as we get into the family section, you'll notice the similarity between this text and what we've just read in Ephesians. But this morning, we're going to look at just one verse. We're going to be looking at chapter 3, verse 18. And of course, next week, we'll be looking at verse 19. So a two-parter sermon this morning. But we're going to start at verse 1 of chapter 3 to give us context to help us understand how it is that Paul can say these things. Colossians 3, starting at verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule on your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then our text this morning. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service, as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. So far God's word. Let's bring these words before him now in prayer. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, the words that we read, our passage this morning is a passage that cuts across the culture of this world. It's a passage that challenges us. A message we may not want to hear. Open our hearts this morning. Work in our hearts. Help us all this morning to submit to your word. We can only do this through the work of your Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, work in us now this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Wives, submit to your husbands. Wives, how does that make you feel as you hear that? Does it generate any emotions in your mind and your hearts? Young ladies, you who may one day be wives, how does that feel as you hear that? Does it grate just a little? We live in a culture shaped by this world, a culture shaped by the mere words that we read here in Colossians 3 verse 18 that are seen as old-fashioned, obsolete, offensive even. In the Roman and Greek cultures, a man had absolute power. His authority was not questioned, and if questioned, the man had right to dispose of anyone or anything that questioned his authority. That was the culture that Paul was speaking to. In Jewish circles, wives were seen as property. So Jesus' message that involved women, as Jesus spoke to women, that was countercultural in itself. We have a passage here this morning that has been explained away as only applying to olden day, ancient culture. But Paul's message was countercultural even then, as we'll hear this morning. The mere fact that he's speaking to woman, that he's addressing woman, was countercultural to that day. Paul's message was countercultural then, speaking to woman, yet his instruction still stood. Wives, submit to your husbands. And that's simply our theme this morning. Wives, submit to your husbands, or to their wives should submit, are called to submit to their husbands. Now, this isn't a message this morning that's just for those of you who are wives. Husbands, of course, are going to want to make sure they listen so that their wives get the message. But men, next week is especially for you, so be careful. Maybe you're not yet a wife, and one day the Lord may bless you in becoming a wife. And if you're neither of those, if you don't fit into that category, the message is still one that you need to hear, that you need to be thinking about as you pray for the marriages that are here in our church, as you encourage, as you speak to people who are struggling in their marriages. We're going to look at 3 points this morning as we look at what it means to submit. And the first point is that it is a call to wives. Hopefully that's obvious, but the point needs to be made here. Paul says, wives, submit to your husbands. He's speaking about a Christian marriage. He's speaking about a Christian relationship. He's not speaking about woman's role in the church and leadership or not. Woman's role in society in general. He's speaking to wives, to those who are married. So we need to be careful that we stick to our knitting, so to speak, that we stick to what our text is speaking about. The Bible speaks about the roles of women in other places and in other ways, but not here in our passage. To let the text speak to itself. And it's also speaking about a safe marriage relationship. It's not speaking about a marriage that is full of abuse, a marriage where someone is in danger, where their children are in danger. Now, Paul is presenting here the biblical ideal as he calls to wives in our first point. Alistair, doesn't he have that first point up? Thank you. Call to wives, just to help the kids who are following along as well. Paul is addressing wives, and as I said, that was countercultural in itself. Back in those days, if you wanted to pass a message on to wives, you would talk to their husband. Now, in this culture, we've learned a bit, hasn't it? A number of session wives find out what happens when they read the bulletin. But here Paul is especially addressing women, countercultural. He's showing wives their importance. And I want you to listen very carefully to me now. Very carefully. When Paul calls a wife to submit, he is not in any way saying that the wife is inferior. In no way is he saying the wife is inferior. That is anti-gospel. That is anti-biblical thinking. Think of the wider context of our text. We saw last week about how male and female, or all in the church, are the new self. We've read this morning in Colossians 3, verse 11, here there is not Greek and Jew in the new self, the new church. Circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all in all. Paul makes it even more clear in Galatians. Galatians 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. When we talk about submission, we are not talking about who is superior and who is inferior. Paul is talking to wives, to women, considering them equal in Jesus Christ. And the question that we are dealing with here, the question that Paul is dealing with here, is one of roles. The roles that God has placed husband and wife in a marriage. We can liken it in some ways to the Trinity. The roles defined and agreed to by the Trinity before the beginning of time and eternity. The Father was going to send the Son. The Son was going to come and die and give his life and raise again from the grave. The Holy Spirit was going to come and make that possible for us and continue to help us to become more like Jesus Christ. The Father isn't superior to an inferior Son because the Son comes and obeys his Heavenly Father. As Jesus said in John 6, as we heard this morning, I come to do the will of my Father. The Holy Spirit isn't inferior because he is sent from the Father and the Son. But we're talking here about different roles. God's defined role in marriage. So Paul is speaking here to wives. Wives and relationship. But what does submission actually mean? That's our second point this morning. What does submission mean? And it's helpful for us, first of all, to look at what submission doesn't mean. Submission doesn't mean that wives are to be a doormat, walked over, that wives are to be slaves, that wives, when your husband comes home from a long day or a short day, that you're waiting at the door with his slippers, his cardigan and his pipe, and you have a newspaper in your hands, and that he can go into the lounge and sit down and put up his feet, or you rush about and give him his favourite drink. That's not the submission that's being spoken of here. Submission never means submitting to abuse, be it physical, be it mental, be it sexual. Submission does not mean that you can never, ever question your husband. That you can't ask him to justify what he is doing. That you have no input in the decisions that are made in your household. That you don't need to, as a wife, say, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir. Submission does not call you to be dumb. Submission does not mean that you can never, ever speak bad about your husband. I've heard that said, that no matter what your husband does, you can never ever say a word bad about him. There are times where your husband needs to be, often that needs to be called account, especially when there is sin. Submission does not mean that only the husband can work. The wife's job is to stay at home and work in the kitchen. How a husband and wife sort out their roles, the roles in marriage, is between a husband and wife. I've met many men who have been holding the home fort while their wives work. Submission also does not mean blind obedience. I don't know if you notice it as we were working our way through our text, but look with me at Colossians chapter 3 verse 18. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, next week, love your wives. But boys and girls, what does it say that children need to do? What are children called to do there in verse 20? Can someone tell me? They're called to do what? What are children called to do? At the back there, yes. Obey. They're called to obey. And this word is different to submit. Bondservants in verse 22, obey in everything those who are earthly masters. Submission doesn't mean simply obeying. Now the word here, submit, literally means to order under. To order under. What does submission actually mean in a marriage, in a marriage relationship? The word submission here, the idea here, is living in a cooperative way with your husband. Living a life, yes, of sacrifice, but also a life that recognizes his leadership. Submission means being a champion of your husband. Now hang on, you might say. Submission, you said, doesn't mean never speaking bad about your husband. But you should be your husband's champion. You need to be careful, wise, how you speak about your husbands. Do you make fun of them? Do you belittle them? Do you put your husband down? That is not submission. Submission is allowing your husband to lead and helping him to lead. Now we're going to speak about husbands next week. But one of the things that we do as husbands is that we're lazy. We're negligent in the roles that God calls us to. And yes, we're going to be speaking about that next week. And it's easy as wives to jump in the gap in the vacuum that our husbands leave. To compensate for them being passive in the house. It doesn't help. And in fact, you're enabling your husbands when you allow them to shirk their responsibilities. So rather than badgering him, rather than walking around in frustration, dwelling on, stewing on what your husband isn't doing, rather than saying, well, I'll just do it, oh, it's better off if I do it myself. Submission means allowing your husband to lead. Helping your husband to lead. Encouraging him in things like family devotions, praying for him, supporting him, helping him to take the lead. Now you may have a wife, you may be a wife, husbands next week, can't fall into that trap, wives this week. You may be a wife who's stronger theologically than your husband. You may have a much better scriptural knowledge. You may spend more time in the scriptures. You may have a better handle of the scriptures. And for some of us men, yes, that can be quite intimidating. But rather than coming from a position of superiority, instead, can I encourage you to see it as a blessing, as a way that you can help your husband, support your husband, equip your husband. Talk with him about what you're learning. Help him, encourage him. Just don't grab the steering wheel and take the lead. Submission means living in cooperation. It means a life of sacrifice. Because as Paul says in the second half of our verse 18, it is fitting in the Lord. Remember what we're doing here. A key verse that we've been looking at or unpacking is chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Paul is explaining what that means, what the Christian life looks like. And here in the family, we see the rubber meet the road. Paul says, to submit to your husband, wives, is fitting in the Lord. Now, this passage isn't saying that you only need to submit in godly things. This word fitting means this. Fitting means fit for purpose. The right way to do things, the best way to do things. And so Paul here is talking about the order that God has put in marriage relationships. How God has set things in place. Now, God in his wisdom could have set the wife as the head of the household. He could have created Eve first and then Adam, but that's not the path that he chose. No, he placed an order. Genesis tells us the man was created first, the wife was created from the husband as a helper. It's a pattern that Paul speaks about in Ephesians chapter 5, in the passage that we read before the service, before the sermon. Wives, submit to your husband as the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now, as the church submits to Christ, also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Paul uses the relationships in the church and Jesus Christ as an example, and marriage is an example of that. So if Paul had just prayed there, wives submit to your husbands, perhaps he could have simply been reflecting the culture of the day. But these words, as is fitting in the Lord, cut through culture. Cut through the culture of the day. It's bringing us back and reminding us back to the time before things went pear-shaped, before the fall. So God's command is a command for the ages. We're not speaking here about Roman culture, Greek culture, Jewish culture, Kiwi culture. Here in our passage, we are speaking about God's culture. I was speaking with a woman the other day, and we were speaking about some of the roles of woman. And this woman said, I get it. I understand exactly what this passage is saying. But that doesn't mean I like it. I understand that. I get that. I appreciated the honesty in that statement. It's not easy, and wives, the fact that it's not easy is probably in much part because of us men. We don't always make it easy for you as wives, and come back next week when you'll hear all about that. But it is the Lord's pattern. And because he says here, because Paul says here, because the Holy Spirit says through Paul, it is fitting. It fits into the bigger picture of what Paul has been saying here. It's part of worthy walking. It's part of receiving Jesus Christ as Lord. And because of that, he promises us help as we submit in our relationships. Because as wives, we are equal. We are equal spiritually with our husband. We are equal as a person. Because as wives, we have died with Christ. We have been made alive in Christ. He promises us as help as we play this out, as this plays out in our lives. And we are to submit and do so as wives, doing exactly what Colossians 3 verse 1 to 17 has encouraged us to do. Put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with your husband. And if you one has a complaint against another, forgiving your husband. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Put on love. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Do so in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything, giving thanks to him. God will help you to live out his plan. He will give you the strength. He gives you the strength. But what if your husband is not a Christian? What advice would you give someone who's struggling in their relationship, who's married to a non-Christian husband? Well, the first thing I want to acknowledge this morning is that that is not easy. When Christ is not the center of your relationship, cannot be the center of your relationship, that is not easy. When you cannot share with the most significant person in your life who Jesus Christ is, the love you have, and when Jesus Christ's love cannot be central in your relationship, that is not easy. And if you're thinking of marrying an unbeliever, or you're in the position of going down that track, my advice to you, the scripture's advice to you this morning is simply don't. Simply don't. God can work. But the path of a relationship when one is not a Christian, going into a relationship when one is a Christian, is generally one of despair and heartache. Not always, but most often it is. That's why the Apostle Paul warns, do not be unequally yoked. But if you find yourself in that relationship for whatever reason, the Apostle Paul has a message for you this morning also. 1 Peter chapter 3, we read this, first four verses. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands. That word subject is exactly the same word that's used in our passage. Wives, submit to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. If you find yourself in that position, if you're giving counsel to someone who is in that position, Paul's advice to us in Colossians is exactly the same. Submit as you can. Live with him. So that by God's grace, you may win him over. So my encouragement to you this morning, the encouragement that I encourage you to give others is keep going. Keep praying. Keep submitting. Keep pleading to God that he would work in his heart. For all of you as wives, this is not an easy calling, but one that is placed on you this morning by the Lord. Hopefully today, some food for thought, some things to talk about with your husband for all of us to talk about. as we pray for our marriages. I read a story the other day about a little girl who was speaking to her elderly neighbour. And this little girl had told her elderly neighbour that she had watched Cinderella. And this older lady, wanting to engage with this young girl, said, "Cinderella, oh, that's the one where they all lived happily ever after, isn't it?" And the little girl says, "No, it's not. They got married." Brothers and sisters, as Christians, it doesn't have to be that way. Next week we'll be speaking to husbands, but husbands, I cannot resist. One thing I want you to be thinking about already this week, already as you read this passage, as you think about these words, are you making it easy or difficult for your wives? Are you making it easy for her to live a life of sacrificial cooperation with you? Are you helping her in that? If you are in a marriage at this moment in time where it's a struggle, and I know this is the case for some of us here, can I encourage you this morning? Can I plead with you not to be satisfied with things the way they are at this moment in time? Talk about it. Talk to someone about it. There is no shame in admitting that you're struggling in your marriage relationship. No shame whatsoever. And brothers and sisters, shame on us if our brothers and sisters who are struggling think that there is shame. That's part of who we are as a body of Christ, walking beside each other, helping each other. But don't settle for less. Ask the Lord for help. Reach out for help, because that is what worthy walking before Christ looks like. That is what is fitting in the Lord. Amen. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, this morning we pray for marriage. We pray for every single marriage here or represented here this morning. Lord, strengthen our marriages. We pray especially this morning for those of us here, for those who we know who are in a marriage where Jesus Christ cannot be the center. Change hearts. Bring repentance. Help us to continue to bring our husband or our wife before you in prayer. Let us never give up. Lord, for those of us who are struggling, we pray for your strength, we pray for your help. We need that. Help us never, ever to be satisfied with things the way they are, but continue to help us grow. Help those of us who are wives to submit in the godly way that we've been encouraged to do this morning, but help us as husbands too, Heavenly Father, to lead, to bring and to create an environment where our wives can flourish, our wives can blossom. We cannot do that without you. Help us. We pray. We plead this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. In number 517, we sing, O Perfect Love. Now, this doesn't describe my marriage, although I have been blessed with a good marriage. This describes the love of Jesus Christ that is the cement in a Christian marriage. So we sing these words, giving thanks to Jesus Christ as a wedding song, looking to him for strength, and also bearing in mind those of us who have husbands or wives who are not yet believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray for our marriage. We pray for our marriages now, number 517. Please stand with me and sing these words together.